Okay, good evening, class. We're in our last class before testing. So next Monday, we'll have a test time. All right? And I know everybody's going to do 100, nothing missing. Yeah, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So we're dealing with continuation on chapter 7, kingdom confrontation. Kingdom confrontation. How we deal with confrontation in the church, culture, kingdom, is the same principles of how you deal with cultures in your home, again, business, jobs, or career choices. It's the same principles. The principles does not change just because the setting change. And that's where most people in life itself begin to make wrong choice. Because changes from church to home to business, raising your kids or finances, we want to change the principles. And that's what causes us to mess up our whole structure and cause confusion and chaos in our lives. But we must understand that the principles does not change just because the situations change. So when we learn the principles and of the culture of how God has originally sought the church up to operate and the believer to live his life and operate according to those things, then if your situation or condition seems to be opposite of what God says, if you stand on the principle, the situation is going to change itself and come in alignment because you're standing on principles. So therefore, conflicts are nothing but distractions to make you try different systems to solve different situations when there's nothing but one absolute truth. If you stick with the absolute truth, everything got to come back in alignment. It got to come back in alignment. And so that's why Paul is always talking to us about the, even with finance, he's talking about the Babylonian system, the world system, not to live according to it, but live according to the kingdom of heaven. You know, and if we learn to do those things, I don't care what you're facing in life, challenges or dreams or desires that you have, if you live according to the principles of God, everything has to work for you. It has to work for you. It has to come in alignment. It has no other choice but to come into alignment. And so when we learn also how to deal with conflicts, it's very important because we live every day with choice making, decision making. And so we need something to stand on that's absolute truth. The foundation has been tried, tested over generations, over centuries of time, and has always proven to be the truth, the right way to do a certain things. Yes, so when we're dealing with conflict, we need that truth to stand on. That has to be in our heart. Amen. How are we going to deal with every issue in our life? You know, and when we can do that, I'm telling you, everything works out. Everything. It may take it a month. It may take it 6 months, but it's going to come right back in alignment. The devil just wants you to try something different and get off the word of God. Amen. That's where he defeats you and cause life to be very confusing. So our meditation scripture is going to be from Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Our meditation scripture from Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. This is also based on page 165. Okay, Paul make note of this. Okay, Galatians chapter 6. It gives a scripture, but it doesn't give the chapter and verse or book that it comes from. On page 165, the third paragraph that said, Paul goes on to say, okay, brethren, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That scripture is so powerful because we deal with church conflicts. Okay. Church is not made of perfect people. Okay. And you got all levels of faith in a local congregation. You got the mature saints. You got the ones who are a baby Christian, just got in the church. Then you got those who are in between, you know? And so you got to deal with all levels of, fathering everybody on their level to bring them into the whole. Yeah. to bring them to the hole. So you're going to have run-ins from time to time with people because we're fleshly and we do have that, I still have that carnality inside of us. So therefore, you're going to have conflict. But it's how we resolve conflicts that keep the church together, that keep from having church splits and people leaving the ministry.
Yes, sir.
And so this is where pastors have come to understand the spirit of controlling the atmosphere. So we because of fear, we want to control everybody to keep people from leaving and make sure everything stays in harmony. So we instead of so we operate in a spirit of control and lording over. Okay. And this is what the church have arrived to now because of the fact we do not have the apostolic to understand that we do not work in control. We don't use fear tactics to make people stay with us.
Amen.
Okay. People have the freedom and the liberty of choice.
Amen.
God gave them that right. And so whether you're going to eat at Burger King or McDonald's or Ruth Chris, that's your choice.
Right.
Just because you walked in and looked at the menu, you ain't got to buy nothing. If you don't want it, just get out of here. You know, and just because you go to a church, if it's not the church that's feeding your spirit where you can grow and expand your gifts and what God's calling on you with a spirit of liberty, then you have the right to get up and leave.
Yeah, that's right.
But just keep your mouth shut. That's all. Just leave.
Right.
You don't want to put your mouth on it to cause certain stuff to start happening. God turn again. Because of those types of things. Same principle and take them back to your home and deal with your relationship, deal with your children. Because we all, if you're married, got kids, every now and then you're going to bump heads. You're not always going to live together. So you got to learn how to resolve conflict with a gentleman. So Paul deals with the scripture in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. You know, that you who are spiritual. You that are spiritual, to restore the person who's in error with a spirit of gentleness. Not to go there in the mindset of bashing that person, belittling that person, or destroying that person's life. Where they don't want to go to church no more. They're mad at God, they're mad at the pastor, they're mad at every member in the church. Because of the fact, the way you handle me. And so it's going to be hard for that person to go back to another church or either to serve the Lord because he's holding this hurt in his heart against the way they dealt with him. So Paul wants to make sure that you're going to have conflicts, but you got to deal with it with a gentle hand to understand that the whole goal is not to destroy the person, but win the person. The person already know he or she is in error. They already know that part. That's why they bought in the room. I done something I wasn't supposed to be doing. Okay. So that's why they're in the room. But that's understandable. Let's listen to what he says here in the follow up. He said, Paul is going on to say, brother, if a man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves that you also be tempted. He is given instructions for what to do when any of us happen to cross paths with someone who has fallen into a hole. In the previous chapter, Paul has described those who are led by the Spirit and express his character or fruit in their lives. Here he addresses you who are spiritual. That's number two. Number two, we got to catch this. You who are spiritual. Then you outline those who know and display the love and character of God. He said, these are the spiritual ones. These are the ones who should be brought in to judge the matter. To judge the matter. If someone fall in, he says, you do not bring a novice in. You do not bring a baby sheep in. You find those who express the love and the character of God to come in and hear the matter and make a ruling on the situation. How are we going to handle this?
Amen.
How are we going to handle this? Okay. Now, I want you to turn with me to page 169. We're going to run ahead and I'll be right back to where we just left. The goals are confrontation. On page 169, at the bottom, said the goals of confrontation. This is what we have to always keep in mind. What is our goal? Why are we going to deal with this situation? How are we going to adjust this situation? What is the outcome that we want to come from this situation? Keep this in your spirit, because it can take you back to the family. Because when your kids become do things that you wouldn't do or do it the way you would have done it, you got to know how I'm going to deal with my child, that I don't push him away from me, but I learn to draw him to me, that he can trust me with any issue. Because if I handle him wrong, he's going to close the door on me and he's going to go get counsel from somebody else and hold bitterness in his heart against me because I dealt with him wrong. That's why you never deal with situation when you're angry. Because when you're angry, you're not in control. You're thinking from emotions and feelings, you know, how it embarrassed me, or how they disappointed me because of what they did. And so I act out of that and I wound the person instead of bringing healing to the person. That's why shepherds are very smart, that when a sheep do something he was supposed to do and he get wounded, he bring the anointing oil and pour in the wound and don't go ahead and kill him. You know, he try to bring healing to him. You know, and that's what pastors have to learn in ministry, as parents have to learn that in ministry, employers have to learn that in their business, in your family, is the idea is you all, my goal is to win you. Yeah. To bring enlightenment that you can see what you did, it wasn't right. But the next time, you're going to make the opposite decision when you're caught up in that situation. Okay, so he brings us to this revelation of why we deal with conflict in the church and how to deal with conflict and what our goals are to deal with conflict. He says here in the goals of confrontation, he says, first, let's identify the goals of confrontation. These must be in your heart and motives. You as you go into a confrontation, these things must be in your heart. OK, and it must be in your motive. Motivate you as you go into a confrontation. OK, he says here, confrontation is about bringing something to the light. By bringing something into the light. That's number three. Confrontation is about bringing something to the light. When I come to you in a spirit of gentleness, I have come to turn the light on for you to have an opportunity to see. No one likes to be belittled, even if they're wrong. I told you so. Didn't I tell you that? You know, I'm already hurting enough, but now you're going to just throw some gasoline on the wound, you know, and hurt me even more. You know, but learning how to bring compassion, learning how to bring truth of the word of God and let it minister to the person. Our whole goal and motivation for going to correct the situation is to bring light so that others can see. So they can see this is how we're going to handle this next time. OK, this is a decision you're going to make next time. You know, even though we deal with the counsel, we deal with pouring the anointing oil in, showing gentleness, it does not exempt the person from the consequences of his situation. And that's another thing that people have to understand, that when we're dealing in confrontation, just because I said you're forgiven doesn't deal with you with the punishment. You still may go through something, and some things you may still have to deal with to bring restitution to the situation.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And so that's another situation that we have to help people understand, that even when God forgives us, does not mean we skating free.
That's right.
There are repercussions behind our decisions.
Yes, amen.
Okay? And so we see that in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve got judged by God because of what they did. It was circumstances, consequences behind the decision.
Yes, sir.
You okay? He could have either pardoned them, forgave them, and let them stay in there.
That's right.
He said, no, it ain't gonna work that easy. It ain't gonna work that easy. You're gonna have to learn from this. You're gonna understand the power of freedom, the power of choice.
Yes.
The power of choice. And so this is what we're dealing with, that when we're dealing with people, we're not to control them. And we'll see this in further down, that it's not about the spirit of controlling, but learning the people to make godly decisions on their own, to make the right decisions about life. And even if they miss it, we have to come in and show compassion on how to correct this situation and do it right next time. And do it right next time. It's so important. It's so vital. So we don't wound people. Amen. We're not here to run people away from church. Right. Okay. People are going to do some silly stuff at times. Okay. But you're not here to run them away. Right. You're here to gain them and recover them from the snare of the enemy. Okay. Let's look at, we have enough time here. Let's look at this one. He says here, the next paragraph, he says, we are also to be very mindful of the cost of judging other people. As Jesus taught, the same judgment that we have issued on somebody else's sin will be measured and used on us. Judging others paints a big target on our face and affords our enemy a turn at us. And this is the other thing that we have to understand when we're dealing with confrontations, that whatever principle or rule or judgment that we set on dealing with somebody's failure or shortcoming, that rule now becomes principle. It becomes principle. There is no double standard or double law. Whatever I judge you with, that becomes law now. So if I fall in the same condition or situation, then that same principle has to be applied. It's not a double standard. So Paul says here, you need to be careful how you pass judgment, because you can be tempted as well and fall in the same situation. Then how do you want somebody to handle you? That's no double standard, you see. And so when we do things like that in ministry, and we deal with people's issues, people's shortcomings and failure, you can best believe that somebody two aisles over saw how you dealt with that person. That's right. And said, okay, let Deacon John fall now. Let me see you deal with him like that. Right. See, they ain't going to forget. That can be 10 years ago. I was here when you dealt with that lady. He did. You didn't do him that. You see, because the judgment becomes standard. It becomes law. Wow. It becomes law. You know, well, his situation was different, or her situation was different. And that's, no, the law is the law. And nobody's above it. You see, it becomes the standard. It becomes a standard. And that's why if you're a parent raising children, you can't use a double standard in your family. Because your kids remember those same situation. No, she did it. You didn't tell her nothing. But you beat me. I'm going to get the switch so you can beat her. You know, they don't forget it. They don't forget it. And so that's why judgment, we have to be careful when we pass judgment on people, how we handle people, because others are watching and it becomes the law. It becomes the law. So keep that, tuck that away in your spirit when you're dealing with issues on your job, on your home, or wherever. It becomes a judgment. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 and 20. I gave you three. I stopped at three, right? Four. I didn't go to four yet. You got two? We had three. Meditation was number one. Okay. Okay, then you deal with those are spiritual, know and display the love and character of God. That's number two. And number three, we dealt with the goal of confrontation. That was number three. Okay. Okay, page 166. He said, deal with them with the spirit of gentleness. Again, our goal is to draw them, not to run them, to heal them, not to wound them no further. A spirit of gentleness. Underline that, a spirit of gentleness. Then he gives us a definition. He says it's an important phrase. It specifically describes the heart attitude of the one doing the confrontation. That's number four. It specifically describes the heart attitude of the one doing the confrontation. Said gentleness is the perfect term to describe the attitude we must have with those who have made mistakes and failed somehow. Gentleness does not mean nice, and it doesn't mean polite. The heart of gentleness is the belief that I do not need to control you. The heart of gentleness, that's number five. The heart of gentleness is the belief that I do not need to control you. And this becomes the atmosphere of our culture as believers, that we're not here to control people. We got enough to control ourselves. And dealing our own issues, you know, then to try to come police people.
That's right.
You see, and this is where pastors get caught up in this policing, hospitaler, pampering, nurturing stage, dealing with people because they're in the place of trying to heal everybody and yet control everybody. You see, and that's what the apostle don't do.
Amen.
The apostle don't care about your feeling. He care about the rule of God.
Amen.
And that you have a responsibility of lining up with God. Mm-hmm. See, God never lowers the standard to please you.
Right.
He raised the standard to make you come up higher, to come into your full potential. Your full ability, your full genius on the inside of you, to stir that genius up that you can do this. You know, so apostles are always stretching people, you know, to be the very best they can be. You know, pastors always to pampering people. Oh, you're going to be all right. Just take a little time. You're going to make an apostle. No, you ain't got the time. Come on, let's go. We ain't got no time to mess with you. You know, don't waste God's time nor mine. Come on here. You know, that's what the apostle does. Okay, so when we deal with the spirit of gentleness, we understand that we're not trying to be so polite with you. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell you the truth and how to correct what you're doing, and don't do that no more. In love, in gentleness, you know, and let you know we love you now. We're here for you. We got your back, you know, but we're not going to be walking. I don't want you walking on eggshells around here. Okay, you dust you all. We got you going. We the church gave you this blessing. Now get up and let's go get this done.
Amen.
Okay, so you ain't got to walk with eggshells, with a shy face, and because you're scared to continue to move forward. No, you're being graced to continue to move in a spirit of liberty. And so you have the power of choice to either line up with this grace or to walk away from it. Or to walk away from it. But our goal is to draw you in and not control you.
Yes,
not control you. So it's a challenging for pastors because, of fact, when he talks further down, when people disappoint us, when you have poured into people, I mean, as a pastor, as an apostle, prophet, evangelist, a teacher, when you have poured into people,
yes,
genuine love and compassion and the word of God and prayer, and you done gone through the burping stage, you done hold their hands. And, I mean, you done gone through prayer at night with them. They calling you all the time, but they're on your vacation. You praying them through and all that kind of stuff. And they make up their mind to leave as if you didn't do nothing. You had no impartation on their life. You had nothing to do with their success, nothing to bring them. And they make up their mind out of nowhere, you know, but God told me my time is up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My season is up.
Yeah.
You know, That makes a pastor or the one who's invested the time and energy in the prayer time, that makes them angry. I mean, it wounds their heart because they saw you as one who's going to stick in here. One who's going to be there, going to be a Timothy, going to be a Silas, you know, going to stick with Paul to the end of this thing. You know, and they have invested in you and even saw the future, putting you in position of authority somewhere, or teaching a school or something, you know, but and you all of a sudden flip the switch and like, you know, I'm leaving. That wounds a pastor. It wounds a leader. And so that leader has to have that grace on his life not to become bitter with you.
Right.
Because of the wound.
Amen.
You see, because he's wounded or she's wounded because they put that investment in you. And so when you walk away, they're wounded. So they have to have enough grace on them to not let nothing get in their heart toward you. And to realize, you know, apostles here tonight, he said about learning how to send people out. Because the church has been always receiving or drawing, bringing people in, not releasing people. You see? And so sometimes when people get ready to leave, sometimes it is a genuine release, a genuine calling. God is calling them out, you know, but because we had not been taught how to send people out, it causes injury.
Yes.
We call inner wounds because of the fact it's something we never done.
Wow.
Okay. So sometimes when people do tell you, I believe God is calling me, God is sending me out, you know, well, Pastor, well, you need to sit down a little bit. And when God talked to me, I'll let you know.
Right.
you know, that can be the first thing he tell you.
Right.
You know, if God calling you out, God will tell me too.
Right.
That he's calling you out. You know, but then there was some renegades who go out, they're not sent, they just leave.
Yeah. Right.
You know, those cause wound, but we cannot allow that wound to be in our heart that we are bitter, that we're angry with them, and we're behind the scene talking about those persons.
Amen.
Okay, because of the investment we put in. But it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we deal with that conflict? When someone do that to us, or do that in ministry, or either someone walk away in your own personal life.
Yeah.
There are people you don't call friends, people you don't spend hours with, sharing secrets of your heart with, situations you've gone through, you don't talk to them with counsel and say, I'm going through such and such and whatever. These people know secrets about you. Nobody else know about you.
Right.
Because you trusted your heart to them.
Right.
You thought, we're covenant brothers and sisters or friends. You know, so we can share this information. But when that person turn on you, how do you deal with that? How you deal with that? You know, because they turn. You can't let that get in your heart. You can't let it get in your heart. You got to do much prayer and ask the Holy Spirit, minister to me. I need help. You know, and I don't want to get the place that I take my wound with her out on her. Because God could be sending me something and healing, but because I'm wounded, I build up walls in my heart. No, you ain't coming that close. We're going to deal with you from a distance. You know, because of a wound. Pastors get those same kind of wounds that we have to be careful not to build up walls in our heart so the next person we don't slight them or what's due to them because of what Brother John just did us. You see, so I don't let nobody else get close. I'm not going to invest that much time. I'm not going to spend that time in prayer. I've done that before. I got wounded because of the situation. So I'm not going to do it no more. So we have to be careful in our hearts on how the grace of God come in and bring healing and bring ministry to us so we can continue our journey without misjudging or mistreating other people because of past experience. Because of past experience. Most people can't move on to their next relationship because they still got soul wounds from their last relationship. And they wonder why I can't go forward, why I can't stay in a relationship no longer than 6 months. Why? Because you still got them hatred about this brother who hurt you 10 years ago. You know, you're wounded by that, you know, and thus far. So ministry goes through those same kind of wounds and you got to deal with those confrontations. In the grace of God, and the love of God, with compassion, you know, and make sure that we give everybody what's rightfully due to them. Okay, he says here in the next paragraph, he says this. Mastery of gentleness begins in our belief system. It begins in our belief system. Do we believe that we can control others? Let's review the simple way to test it out. What happens to you when other people do not let you control them? Do you become angry? Do you interpret it as dishonor? Do you find a way to justify punishing them? A yes to any of these questions expose that you still believe the lie that you can and should control people. Kingdom confrontation, underline this, this would be number six, wouldn't it? Kingdom confrontation require that you repent of this and begin to allow others to control themselves. To control themselves. And we see that through the whole Bible. God himself do not exercise the power of control. He exercised the spirit of liberty that you, as a free modern agent, you have the right of choice. You have the right of choice. And God allows you the freedom to make that choice. Even though he don't forewarn us, he gave us truth. All that's ahead of time because he wants you to know the truth so that you can have a foundation of making the right decision. But yet, if you choose not to make the decision, he said, you still got that too. But understand the consequences behind your wrong decisions. There's a consequence behind your wrong decision. He said, I set before you life and death. Choose life. He said, choose. So you can't fail that test. Not if I'm going to give you the answer. You know, and so and people still fails it every day because they have the right to choose. See, I tell people all the time, just because you can think of something don't mean it's right. Your mind can think of any crazy stuff. Say you sanctify, fill the Holy Ghost, speak in tongue, cast out the devil, and your mind still thinks some crazy stuff. You know, because the mind got to be restored. It got to be renewed. It got to be casting down strongholds. Every day we have the battles of the mind all the time. Amen. We battle with our emotions and our feelings because it's our soul man. You know, and making the right decision, choosing to get angry or not to get angry, to punish somebody or not to punish somebody, or to bless somebody or not to bless somebody, all those become choices we make every day. You know, and because we are parents, those of us who are parents, we have the power to choose to correct our children. Amen. We have been given that authority by God. These are our children. He told us to train our child the way it's supposed to go. So we exercise the power of control. But it's how we control our kids.
That's right. That's right.
They're going to determine the outcome of their life. Because our kids going to do to their children exactly what we do to them. You know, you can tell your children now, if you was the parent and your child done, you did what you were going to do. I would have beat them. Well, that's why I'm beating you. You know, because they're going to do exactly what you did.
Amen.
Because whatever choice we make, it becomes law.
Yes.
It becomes a principle. So our kids will learn from the culture. However we handle situation, it's the same way they're going to handle the situation.
It's the same thing.
If they see you
arguing back with your husband, or you and your husband arguing,
your wife arguing with each other,
so they figure, okay, that's how we discuss that.
You know, so they come in, instead of coming in a place of sitting down and talking to each other across the table, they argue with each other because I heard you raise your voice. So that's the way we're supposed to talk to each other or resolve issues, you know, but it's not the right way to do it.
That's right.
It's to learn to sit down in a calm atmosphere with everybody tempered down, mm-hmm. and let's share each other's opinion.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, you got a right to your opinion.
I'm not here to try to control your opinion. I'm here to hear your opinion, and you're going to hear my opinion. But the truth is what God says. Okay, see, either we're going to come to agree that whatever God said is what's right, or what you said is right. Okay, so if I need a foundation to stand on, same thing as pastoring, if I need a foundation to judge my situation on, I got to judge it based on the word of God.
That's right.
I got to base it on a judgment, not my personal opinion, it's what God said.
Right.
So if I'm going to solve my marriage situation, I got to bring the word of God in. No, God said this.
Amen.
So if you're going to argue, go fuss with him. He said it. I'm lining up with him.
Amen.
You see? And when you do that, you bring harmony back in the house, because people realize if God said it and we both agree that God is true, then we're going to do what God said.
Yes, sir.
And that's how we resolve the issue.
Amen.
We say, the Bible is not clear to say, talk about everything that I face in my life. Yeah, but I can take that example and that principle and bring it right over here.
Yes.
It applies to this too.
Amen.
It applies to this. You see, and that becomes a difference. And so a lot of times when we're dealing with confrontation, judging matters. It's so important how I judge matters, because it becomes rule. Even in your marriage, it becomes rule. Okay? And you says, okay, before we spend any money out of the checking account, we bring to the table, we make sure the bills are paid. Then whatever's left, you're going to give me an allowance. Okay, every week or every 2 weeks, I mean, you're going to put money in my checking account. Okay, and you go on, all your rules and regulations. Okay, so time goes on and you deal with a confrontation about it. So how do I handle the matter? I take you back to the rule book 101.
This is what we're talking about. This is how we handle the matter. Don't switch in the middle of the
screen with me. You said that we're going to bring all the checking money on the table. We're going to pay the bills out, and then you're going to put money in my account. So the day
is Friday. It's payday.
We done this and we done that. I need some money over there now. Don't come chain it up. You see, because it becomes law, it becomes principle.
Yes, sir.
It's how we deal with conflict. It's how we solve marriage.
This is how marriages go
these 40 years and 50 years, because it has standards.
It has principles
in place that govern.
And those things become the foundation over all those years. This is what we agree upon. And what makes it work? It must work.
That's, again, it takes us back to the point
that without a vision, the people perish. And if you don't have a plan in place of how you're going to operate your household, then you're going to fail. If a pastor do not have a standard of how the church is going to operate according to the word of God, and how we're going to handle confrontations and all the other stuff that goes on in church, that ministry is going to have a hard time getting off the ground and succeeding. And succeeding because there's nothing in place. There's nothing pillar that people can stand on when they come in and say, new membership class. This is A, B, C. This is how our ministry operates. These are the people in position. These are things you got to go through. Get from point A to point B before you release our ministry. Do whatever you're going to do. This is how we roll. Okay, now the first class, you don't like that? Okay, let's make a decision right now. You're not a good fit for us, and we're not a good fit for you. Okay, so you might want to pick your stuff up on the way out and go about your business. Because this is how we're going to roll here. You see, and that's the way when we're dealing with structure, we're dealing with order, we're dealing with a foundational building. Apostle talked about that thing. 2 months ago, he talked about foundation, and that the height of a building stands on the depth of the foundation. If the foundation is not firm, then the building eventually is going to start leaning. It has to, because it has no foundation. So if your marriage has no foundation, or your ministry don't have no foundation, who's apostle, who's the prophet, who's the pastor, evangelist, and teacher, if that is not in alignment, then the church is going to struggle in its growth. It's only going to go up so far, and all of a sudden, it's going to collapse. It's going to collapse. We're going to have a split, some confusion going to get in, because it has no foundation. Mm-hmm. How to restore people, heal people, and keep people in a spirit of understanding their liberty in the local church.
Yes,
you have the right of choice here.
Yes,
we're not going to make you do nothing. You're going to choose to do it. Because of the love of our atmosphere, the how we carry ourselves, how we live before you, the love of God going to draw you in to come in alignment.
Amen.
We ain't got to make it happen. It's automatically going to happen. Because of the love of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen?
Glory to God. Amen. So get ready for your quiz. You got 6 questions here. And I know you're going to do a real wonderful. I ain't got to go check on you. You're going to do good. And we'll be back, I guess, 2 Mondays from now.
Yes, sir.
Okay? God bless you. Y'all have a great night. All right.